Welcome to the Story of God podcast, where each episode helps everyday men and women see how they fit into the grand narrative of God's redemptive plan. Here's Ezra and Janan.
Can we be a disciple of Jesus Christ without experiencing persecution? That's what we're looking at today in Matthew chapter 10.
And I guess it also depends on your definition of persecution.
Yeah, and certainly the persecution that many of Jesus' disciples experienced in their time frame, giving their lives, so forth, is much different than many of us face today.
And maybe similar to what people in other places of the world are facing, but not in most of the Western Hemisphere.
So every Christian faces persecution, but in different ways, as Matthew 10 is going to point out.
And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it, and if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town.
Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and child will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be halted by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Matthew 10 kind of gives us an interesting contrast. The first few verses talks about how he called Jesus to him, 12 disciples, and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and heal every disease and every affliction. But then just a couple verses later, we get into the persecution and the backlash they're going to experience.
Yeah, and I think any time that you share Christ's message, I mean, it's full of controversy, as he kind of hints at, you know, it's going to turn people against each other. Anytime you share it, you are kind of putting yourself out there to be persecuted. Obviously, I think a lot of times we don't face the persecution, at least in my world, I don't face persecution like other people across the world do. But anytime you share the message, you're putting yourself out there for persecution.
I think it's important to point out here, just in these first few verses, that again, there's nothing that the disciples do that makes them worthy of being Jesus' disciples, right? It could have just as easily been others. And so how God chooses to work is in different ways. But so Jesus calls these 12 disciples, and you notice how Jesus works with different levels of people, right? So John is the beloved disciple, right? And he's very close to Jesus. And Peter is a little bit, we'll see maybe even later on, he kind of becomes the spokesman for the disciples. And that's a role he naturally fills, right? So each plays their unique role and a contribution to what Jesus is doing.
Yeah, and he, some of them do have natural giftings, like you're talking about. Peter always was kind of outspoken a little bit, and so for him to become the spokesperson, he obviously liked to talk. So sometimes, you know, Jesus uses our natural giftings, but he calls everyone to be a Christian. And so, I mean, he uses whatever you have inside you to share his word.
Well, as someone who is fully God, fully man, so there's two components here, right? There's the man side, the humanity side, where Jesus is going to experience the pain and agony when his disciples mess up. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, right, he's God. So this means he's outside of time. He understands already what's going to happen. So he knows Peter is going to betray him, right? He knows Judas is going to really betray him and sell him for 30 pieces of silver. He knows that Thomas is going to doubt him. And he has all these things that he already knows, and yet he still chooses to work with these 12 individuals.
And he still chooses to work with us. You know, sometimes it's easy to look at people in the Bible and say, I can't believe that Peter denied Christ. I can't believe that Judas betrayed him like that. But, I mean, we're not that far above them, are we?
Well, isn't it interesting that Jesus knows our biggest mess up in all of life that we'll ever make? He already knows what that is. And yet he chooses to call us his children. And you know, Jen, we're getting a little bit off topic here, but I think this is really an important point. I think sometimes we really struggle to lend our name to other people. We fear that if we elevate others and we help them, then will that reflect badly or poorly on us? Right. If we, you know, when I was pastoring, right, if I let someone speak, what if they said something wrong? You know, and you go through all of these things and will that reflect poorly on me? And so many ways we do this all throughout life. But what keeps me grounded is coming back to this astonishing reality that Jesus Christ, right, you know, the perfect church, right, he's building a perfect church, a perfect kingdom. And yet his means of expanding this kingdom is through using imperfect people. He already knows the flaws they made and the ones that they will make.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing, especially if you put it in our own terms of, hey, I'm mentoring this person, but ooh, they just messed up and they're telling people that I'm mentoring them and that can be putting yourself out there. And Jesus does it all the time.
Like it's easy to do like work projects, right? Like, oh, do I really want to stick up for this person? Or, you know, there's boundaries that you put in place. But man, having that firm understanding of what Jesus has done for us and how he's called us is just incredible to me and really keeps me grounded during times where I'm tempted to get off track, I guess.
But it does come with a cost, you know, and being a disciple of Christ, he says in verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. And the thing is, if we want Jesus's name in the good, we have to also have it in the hard. And not that hard can't be good at the same time, but sometimes we just think, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, this is great. And I think honestly, I think a lot of the Western world is kind of watered down in our Christianity, where we're like, yeah, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and that's what life is about. But life is about bringing Christ's kingdom to earth, and that comes with sacrifice, and that comes with persecution. And it might be, we kind of talked about this at the beginning, it might be different for everyone, but I think sometimes, especially in the Western world, this might sound a little bit funny, but I think sometimes we have to choose, in a sense, persecution.
Well, here's an interesting thought. I think that what you call people to is ultimately what we should expect them to live up to. So in other words, what do I mean by that? Well, if we just say, okay, well, follow Jesus and your life will be better. And, you know, this is a great addition to your life. You know, everyone needs to be a little bit spiritual. Everyone needs to have like a coffee cup, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone needs to have a little bit of Jesus in their life. And if that's what we call people to, here's the challenge. what I've seen sometimes is people can do a very low calling, and then it's kind of a bait and switch. Okay, a very low calling. Yeah, if you just, you know, Jesus has all these things for your life. Here you go. Bam, if you accept Jesus, this is amazing. But then what the disciple realizes as they begin to grow in their walk with God, okay, actually Jesus calls me to give all of my life to him. And this is an incredible commitment. And so I think there's that balance there between recognizing, okay, yes, God is already done everything, right? You know, the work of salvation is all him. But this comes with an incredible cost that will result in some forms of persecution.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we think that God just, has this plan for us and he just has this great, glorious, you're going to reap all these benefits and you're going to, and yes, being a Christian is amazing. It's wonderful. I can't imagine not being a Christian, but sometimes it's in the will of God for us to be persecuted. And I think sometimes we miss that. Jesus says from the very beginning, you will be persecuted. And it's not like he wants to just put us under tribulation. He wants to, but he does allow it for his purposes to grow and expand and for the testimony to be shared. And I think sometimes we just get so scared. I was sharing just before we did this that it was even just, I felt God asking me to share a word with someone that's not a Christian. And my immediate response in my heart was, what if they get mad at me? And I almost didn't send this message that I knew God wanted me to send. And it took me a day, which is, I just laugh because I think that is so ridiculous of me. But it took me a day because I was like, but what if they get annoyed or mad that I said something about Jesus? And that's like what my whole life is supposed to be about.
Well, this warped Western mindset says, you know, you do not proselytize at all. Okay. Mm. You keep religion, spirituality very private. And to me, what this just says is that the people that make that statement don't really believe in what they say they believe. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we don't do that with anything else, right? Mathematics, we're teaching our kids, whether it's algebra or the laws of physics, geography, social studies, you know, so forth, right? All these things. We don't just leave that up to chance and say, okay, well, what you take is what you take, and what I take is what I take, and this helps me mentally cope with life. For the Christian, the firm believer in Christ, there are certain absolutes and non-negotiables. And so that's, I think it's very important to understand that when we call people, when we invite people into a relationship with Christ, yes, it's a grand invitation. It's an extraordinary invitation, but it also requires that they give all of themselves.
And you can't trick someone into being a Christian.
Exactly.
You can't. And
I think the bait and switch.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that's our temptation is if I make it just glittery enough.
We don't want to make it scary.
Yeah. And it is scary. It's surrendering your life to someone else's control. And that can be very scary.
But when you think about it, Janine, it's like, I mean, you know this, but I'm just saying we never had control to start with. Yeah. So much of life, if COVID and everything has taught us anything, it's that nothing in life really is in our control. We have some things that are in our control, but in the grand scheme of things, we don't know when we're leaving this earth. And there's very few things in the grand picture of life that we can control, because one day we're returning to the ground.
And this is why a lot of times, even in this scenario I was talking about earlier this week, I when I'm praying and I'm thinking about something like this, I have to take it and say, okay, in light of eternity, say she gets mad at me. Big deal. Like, yep. God is telling me to say this. I have to say it. I have to be obedient. I have to do this because what if this is my last chance to reach out? What if this is my last time to say, you know, Jesus is what holds me together.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we have to look at things in light of eternity. And if this was our last day, what would we have left behind? Would we have left in obedience to Christ and in obedience to sharing his gospel with those around us?
I just think of you, you know, the listener, as you're going about your day today, right? And maybe you've been kind of sensed a low calling to faith in Christ, and you know that you want to be a part of God's grand story. That's amazing. That's incredible. But perhaps there's a chance that you haven't really counted the cost, that this might come, that persecution, and this is expected. And if you haven't, I would just challenge you to return to the words of Jesus, right? Really begin meditating on what he actually said, not what others have said about him, but what he actually says in his word, like such as Matthew 10, and renew your commitment to Christ at a higher level. And as you do that, here's what's going to happen. The fear that you have, really the fear of wanting to be in control, is going to diminish as you realize that you can absolutely trust the one who controls everything. And so that's the way that I would encourage you today to put your faith into action.
Thank you for listening to the Story of God podcast. For more info on this program or to access other resources that will help you turn Sunday belief into Monday action, please visit themondaychristian.com. That's themondaychristian.com.